Good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to the inaugural meeting of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group. Thank you very much for coming. I'm going to stand up. I'm not sure this helps. I'm a short person. But at any rate, hi, my name is Lisa Shiner. I am the one who has been spamming you with all those emails. So thank you for your patience. Thank you to those of you who have volunteered to serve. We certainly appreciate it. And thank you for all the correspondence in advance of tonight's meeting. I know for a lot of you, this may be your first time venturing into being an appointed official for the Village of River Forest. So there are some little logistics and housekeeping things that we'll kind of get the hang of as we go through here. Please do not ever hesitate to reach out and ask a question to either of the chair people or me. We are here to support you. We are here to be resources for you, and we look forward to working together. So I'm going to do roll call real quickly. We have several members on Zoom who have joined us remotely, and so you will be able to hear them on the loudspeaker. And for those of you who are on Zoom, we want to make sure that you can hear us just fine. So we'll be checking in with you throughout the night. And so if you'll just bear with me for a minute, when I call your name, please respond by saying here. And if you could wave so we can all see you and get to know each other, I think that would be really helpful. All right, we'll get that started. All right, and for those of you who are on Zoom, if you could make sure that you are muted just to try to eliminate background noise, that would be appreciative. But when I call on you, you'll have to unmute yourself and say that you are present so that we can have you as part of the roll call. Also, if you are on by phone instead of computer, to unmute yourself, make sure you hit *6 or use the unmute feature on Zoom so that we can hear you. All right, Mr. Addy.
It's Miss Addy here.
Oh, Miss Addy, thank you. Mr. Arouse, thank you. And I don't have people's name in front of me, so I apologize if I did not get your gender correct. Here we go. Ms. Austin. Trustee Bachner. Ms. Baird. Mr. Bonner. Mr. Brandhorst. Ms. Burkett.
Here.
Very good. Ms. Creedy. Very good. Ms. DeSorbo Quinn, thank you. Ms. Duba Clancy, Ms. Economos.
Here.
Very good, thank you. We hear you. Mr. Foster, Mr. Garcia Luce, Ms. Graham. Mr. Grant, Ms. Hartshorn, Ms. Herman, Ms. Iverson, Trustee Johnson, Mr. Johnson, Ms. Kang, Ms. Cascatallo, Mr. Culladen. Very good, thank you. Mr. Kirk, Mr. Kreisman, Ms. Lucci.
Here.
Very good, thank you. Ms. McCauley. Ms. McAdams, Mr. Navarro. I did. I'm sorry. Very good. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Ms. Nicholas. Mr. Norman. Ms. Oates. Ms. Pepernick. Ms. Peavy. Mr. Ricchetti. We'll give people on Zoom just a minute to make sure. Mr. Riley. Ms. Rogers, Mr. Schumacher, Ms. Shea, Ms. Simon, Sirzanovich Olveni?
Here.
Mr. Weisenberger? Ms. Yoon? We have a quorum and can proceed with the meeting. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to our first meeting. Before we start, I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. If you haven't participated in a land acknowledgement before, the reason why we do an Indigenous land acknowledgement is because it's important to understand the longstanding history that's brought you to reside on this land and to seek to understand your place within history. Land acknowledgements do not exist in the past tense or in historical context. Dominant culture is a current and ongoing process, and we need to build our mindfulness of our present participation. That information's from Northwestern University. And I do find that this is the one way that we can help remind ourselves that there are often identities that are not always at the top of our mind, but that we should be seeking out and have validity and have history. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. The commitment that you've made to this committee is outstanding. We are going to be doing a lot of work, and there are going to be various levels for you to participate. And I'm already excited about the kinds of things that we are going to accomplish. My name is Erica Bachner, Trustee Bachner. Please call me Erica. And I do want to begin this as well for thanking Trustee Katie Brennan, who had this idea originally, called me about it. And I had already been thinking about this in one way or another during the campaign that I had, but it was really her who took this to formation of this group. Obviously, the committee will begin work on things that deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion in our village. And as we begin this work, the topics and the suggestions that we come up with will sometimes be relatively easy to find a solution. They'll be straightforward, and we just need to do some organizing to accomplish. And a lot of the time, we'll probably be putting in a lot of work into research, hearing from different stakeholders, and discussing amongst ourselves. This is not a sprint, it is very much a marathon. And so I just want people to remember that as we go through this work. We do come to this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group with different amounts of work to do in different areas. And that's okay. What we will be doing here is building a foundation for us to discuss diversity, equity, inclusion for our village. We may talk about some kinds of issues more prominently than others. We may talk about racism more prominently than others, or disability rights more than others. And mainly that is because racism is the most entrenched system that we all live through. So that may be the best lens for us to view some of the issues that we are looking at. And with that, we have a long agenda for us tonight, so we'll get underway.
Hello, I just want to give a quick introduction. My name is Ken Johnson. I'm a newly elected trustee, so if you voted for me, thank you. If you didn't, I probably hate you. So let's get that out the way now. Very excited to be here and want to say, you know, one thing. So growing up in Detroit, I went to the University of Michigan, and I was majoring in political science. And so we had this professor, and he, you know, it was an upper level class, and I took it as a freshman. Not really. I just messed up my syllabus. I couldn't figure it out. So I ended up in that class. And so one of the things that the professor said, he's like, okay, I got one big question. It was the first question of the whole class. I'm like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. And he picks me. And he says, what's your name? I said, Ken Johnson. And he said, Mr. Johnson, what does where you stand depends on where you sit mean? I had no idea. So, he said, I told him I didn't know. I said, I'm not sure. He said, okay, I don't want anyone else to answer the question. I want you to go home. And then tomorrow you have to tell me what it meant. So I still couldn't figure it out. I ran in and talked to some of the upperclassmen. And what I learned is basically what it means is where you stand on an issue depends on where you're sitting or your background. And so I would encourage you guys to first understand where you sit on issues, and then understand that other people sit in different areas and different opinions and different ideas. For instance, myself, where do I sit right now? I sit as an African-American, cancer survivor, someone that, I'm very interested in youth of America. And so those are things that are important to me. So that's where I sit. So sometimes I'll offer some opinions that come from where I sit. And I would encourage you all to do the same. And I'll also encourage us all to invite each other to sit in our space and do it in a way that we can all be cordial, that we can all learn, and that we can all get some progress on this. I often said during my campaign that, change doesn't happen overnight, but progress can happen in an instant. And so I think that's something we can do if we all work together and we all take the time to learn from each other and don't make it a situation where it's adverse. And I think we're gonna do that, and I'm excited about it. So I just wanna say thank you and welcome.
All right, so as we move through the agenda, attached to your packet were the mission, purpose, goals, and duties of the advisory group. These were adopted by the Village Board of Trustees unanimously. And I think at this point, if there were any questions about them, we assume, so coming into these meetings, we assume everybody has had a chance to read. We won't spend your time. We know you all have very precious time. So we won't spend time reading to you unless there's something we really need to review. But at this point, if there is any question or any discussion, clarification, this would be your opportunity to ask that. Yes. You know what? Actually, hang on. We're going to do a little bit of mic swapping here. I got it. So for our folks who are on the Zoom call, they will not be able to hear you unless you're speaking into a microphone.
So my understanding at the meeting when the group was established is that we would discuss and define what diversity, equity, and inclusion meant. And so I'm pretty confident I know what diversity and inclusion means, but the word equity seems to float between outcome and opportunity. And I'd like at some point to have a discussion about that.
Thanks for that question, Mindy. Yes,
thank you, Erica.
Those are three very important terms. There are lots of other terms that are probably going to be useful for us to gather and learn about as well. And so part of the work that we're going to be doing tonight and for the next few meetings is figuring out how do we want to structure our meetings. I think the three of us have some ideas around that. We've got a lot of learning to do, and we've got a lot of projects to work on as well. It's possible that we spend half our time together in a learning situation, bringing people from Dominican or across the community. of course, Dominican is a partner of us, of ours with this. And going through things like the terms and what we need to know to do this work. Today is a little bit more of just getting to know each other, which is really important because we are going to be having lots of conversations and we need to be open and honest and vulnerable with each other. And so as we move on, I think that you'll see soon that we're going to be getting to that kind of education.
And again, for those of you who are joining us remotely, if you have any questions, please unmute yourself and go ahead and ask those. The other thing you can do, I'll be monitoring the chat feature tonight. So if you have a question, you can go ahead and put that in the chat feature as well, and we will make sure we pay attention to those. All right, so if there are no other questions, don't be shy. But if you feel shy, you can always email afterwards. That's okay until everybody gets comfortable. And we will be sure to address it. Oh, there is a question. Very good. Thank you.
I got it.
It's a sprint to see if you can get the microphone too close.
Hi, can everybody hear me? So I have a question on, I love the last piece of the packet on guidelines for dialogues. Because I have been involved in some groups like this before, and, you know, personal growth is when you kind of live in that tension of these discussions, is where you really kind of have your breakthroughs and stuff. So I'm curious, though, like the first one is confidentiality, and how does that work with the Open Meetings Act?
Good question. When we think about confidentiality in this group, think about some of the small group work that we are probably going to be doing. Tonight you'll be partnering up with somebody and talking through a couple of different questions, right? And so in that work, we're not going to be taking notes on every single, you know, situation that you guys are bringing up, right, to begin to get context and to begin to open ourselves to this work. So that's kind of where the first one comes in, if that makes sense.
That's okay.
So when we get into like the decisions and stuff like that, that's when, yeah, okay. I just want to make sure, because you know how this goes, right? Everyone is learning, people don't always use the right words. We have to extend a lot of grace as we're going through these discussions. I just wondered how that kind of worked with that particular act, so.
Good question.
Okay. There we go. If anybody wants, I can wipe this down in between, but if you're comfortable, I can just get to it.
Okay. I'm good. I have a question about the entire charge to this group, and it's kind of a structural question as to how we're going to operate. There's reference to the creation of a working group, and I'm not entirely clear how that working group is going to operate and interact with the entire group. There seems to be a reference to the creation of an RFP with the working group, and then there's again a reference to the RFP for the entire group. And then let me build on that question. I understand that the chairs of this group have decided to have breakout groups. And I think that's the prerogative of the chair, but I wonder whether this entire group feels comfortable with that. I think we're a manageable size, and I find that there's a lot of repetition and redundancy when there are small groups, and I'm not entirely sure that I would be in favor of that, although I'd like to hear people out on that issue. So working group and then the smaller breakout groups.
Yeah, so the working group actually just refers to the advisory group. So that's part of the charge of what we're doing as a whole. Yeah, yeah. So it's not a separate thing,
okay.
No. In terms of small group work, that's actually to your benefit as a time saver. We've got, I think, 30, 36 people in this room tonight. And if we were to ask this question and have every single person answer it individually and think about that, that would be a wealth of knowledge for us. But it's really to get to know a few people as we continue on with the eventuality of getting to know all of us, right, as we go through the meeting. So coming up with ideas, sort of brainstorming in smaller groups, and then providing that back to the larger group.
My name is Robert Navarro, and this is the first time that I ever participate in something that relates to the services of a governmental unit. Most of my participation in similar cases has been related to whole, you know, larger groups, including national. The first glance of this description as mission and purpose leads me to believe that we are going to need about like 10 years. And I need to know if there was any thought by the creators or initiators of this process to make sure that the people that participate do have a certain clarity about not only the time involved, but also the lines of decision making. I don't know by what I read here, who or what is the ultimate receptor of all of our work together. It's almost like we're going to brainstorm in the old ways of thinking. And I don't want to buck that. It's a good process. We need a little more clarity in terms of, at least I should say, I want to change my pronoun. I need more clarity in terms of you know, tenure, so to speak. And then as soon as possible, put together a much smaller group that can begin to organize what we have here, which is a, you know, changing the whole world kind of thing, before engaging in the creation of an advisory group for, you know, the governmental units. The other thing is that maybe I'm the only hard of hearing person here. This is terrible. I'm making about 10% of what you folks are saying, and I have some of the best hearing aids that I would buy. It's necessary for these meetings to be much more prepared for the purpose of not too much effort in trying to understand each other, let alone, you know, make decisions and come to conclusions that are creative and can be feasible.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I think what that means is that we all need to talk a little bit closer to the microphone so that everyone can hear us. So thank you for that. I do know there's an echo in this room. When I came into the room, I didn't realize this is where we were gonna be today. And I think a lot of this still is because of social distancing, right? So Dominican has a lot of spaces, and hopefully we'll be able to find a space that works for us as we go on in the future. This is an unfortunate necessity right now. And then you had a question about decision making. Everyone here has been appointed to the committee of the Diversity, Inclusion, Equity Advisory Group, and we all have a vote on what we put forward or what we will work on. And so every one of us is one vote on that. We will, as we move forward, begin to think about what it is that we want to work on, begin to make prioritizations. As someone mentions the RFP, that's probably going to be one of the things that we begin to look at. It's an RFP for a consultant who will work hand in hand with us to go through some of the topics that we're going to go through. And so when you said 10 years, that made me very happy. I want this advisory group in one way or another for the village to always be around so that the village can get recommendations in just the same way that they get around sustainability, they get around other topics. It's something that I find needed to have the voices of the community help us with this. In terms of your term, that is a great question. I don't have that answer. I don't know if Lisa has that answer. I don't know if that's something that we come up together as a group. So we can find out more about that for you.
So just real briefly, thank you to everybody for being flexible as we feel our way through meeting spaces, logistics, especially relative, and I'll stand over here so people don't have to crane their necks, especially relative to COVID guidelines. As everyone knows, the state is moving to phase 5 on Friday, and there will be a lifting of capacity restrictions. So depending on how discussions are structured, we're trying to be flexible as well in terms of roundtable discussions, classroom style discussions. I think we intend for this to be very interactive, not just us speaking at you for 2 hours, because I don't think anyone would enjoy that. I don't want to listen to myself for 2 hours. So we appreciate everybody being flexible as we sort of feel our way through, and I appreciate the issues about sound. We will certainly take that into consideration going forward. So thank you. One thing that did come in on the chat was a request that if you are speaking, you say your name when you speak so that the folks who are here tonight via Zoom know who you are. So I would just ask you to do that. And there were some great comments from members of the Dominican team, Amy Omi and Sheila Radford Hill, who have joined us remotely. And they certainly have some suggestions on different accessibility services that we can look into as we proceed. So thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. It's Mindy Creedy again. Under the responsibilities of the DEIAG group, it says that we're going to review of vendor relationships, hiring and firing policies, and budgets to equity implications and impact. I'm concerned about, might need to be a little bit more clarification, because I don't think we should have immediate impact on any collective bargaining agreements or the statutory requirements of any committee. And so I think that that area needs to be revisited before we agree on that.
Sure, so collective bargaining agreements, just very briefly on that. The village has a number of employees who are represented by labor unions, and they have the right for collective bargaining. We have collective bargaining agreements with those unions in the police, fire, and public works departments. The village provides, the village board ultimately is responsible for granting negotiating authority to village staff, and we go ahead and execute the policy direction of the village board as it relates to those collective bargaining agreements. Bargaining agreements are ultimately ratified by the village board of trustees and the union before they take effect. And so I understand the comment. I appreciate that. There are a number of laws in the state of Illinois that pertain to collective bargaining. And so those laws will continue to govern how we proceed. But we appreciate the comment, and we'll get to that, I think, at some point. I don't know that that's where we're going to start. I certainly understand the concerns, but I think let's take it one step at a time.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about budget, it just means where does the money go and how are we putting it, and are we putting in the spaces that we want to put it around inclusion and equity, you know? So I think that probably comes a lot with our consultant and something like a budget analysis, or it could mean a couple of different things, but one thing I think that we need to remember too as a committee is that we are always providing, when it comes to that time, recommendations to the Board of Trustees. And so ultimately it is at that board table where things get approved or not.
Let me just check the chat and see if there are any final comments that came in. Questions? I don't see any. So there's no action required on this. So I think we can take all your comments into consideration. We will do our best to reflect your comments in meeting minutes, but I do just want to discuss that very briefly, because obviously coming out of this meeting, there will be a set of meeting minutes. The purpose of the minutes is to officially record the votes and actions that are taken by the members present. They are not a verbatim record of the meeting. That's what the recording is for, and the recordings are always made available after the meeting. So what you will see when I prepare those minutes are a very brief paraphrase of some of the questions that were raised and some of the responses that were provided, but they won't be a verbatim record. You, as an advisory group, will have an opportunity to review those meeting minutes before they're approved. And so you'll see those in advance. And if you ever have any questions or corrections, please don't hesitate to let us know. So the next item on the agenda is item 4, which is adoption of guidelines for dialogue. This is the first official action of the advisory group.
How exciting. I think I do want to read through these guidelines of dialogue, just so we can make sure that we all understand them. We are going to hold ourselves accountable to these guidelines. And we also want to ask you, after we've read through these and answered any questions, if you have any additional guidelines that you would like to include. So the first one we talked about earlier, in those times when we are kind of meeting one-to-one, sharing out personal stories and things, we just want to be mindful that we are not then talking about that across town, right, or in our community. That's something that is shared between people. Although when we're learning about things in here, when we're learning about topics and issues, those are wonderful to bring to people. Those are wonderful to spread around to the community. Our primary commitment is to learn from one another. So we're gonna listen to each other and not talk at each other. We're gonna acknowledge differences amongst our backgrounds and skills and interests and values. And we realize that these differences that will increase our awareness and understanding through this process. An important one, we're gonna speak from personal experiences. We're going to use I statements to share feelings and thoughts. You can't speak for your entire group. I know sometimes it'd be exhausting when somebody asks you to do that, right? Just because you are of a certain group does not mean that you understand. So the next one, we will work with awareness of status differences within, this says workshop, but within this committee. We recognize that there may be significant differences in professional position or power amongst the participants here in this workshop. So we're gonna try in our own participation to be open and honest with, without endangering ourselves. Likewise, as we interact with other participants, we will support their self-exploration as we're talking through these issues and learning, and respect whatever limits particular individuals set for their own self-exposure. The next one, we recognize that there may be persons in this advisory group who are in solo status or nearly so in regards to certain identities. So because of many factors, importantly including historical patterns of exclusion or privilege or some identities around race or gender or class or sexual orientation and others are underrepresented in this committee. And so we will support those people in their own decisions about how to participate. And we won't expect them to educate any of us. And we will be aware of the pattern of over and under representation here in this group. We're not going to demean, devalue, or put down people for their experiences, their lack of experiences, their difference in interpretation of those experiences. We are going to assume best intentions. So within this committee, we're gonna trust that people are doing the best they can and that everyone is attempting to balance being honest and vulnerable and imperfect with standards of perfection, mastery, and survival. We are also going to take responsibility for our impact. Our intentions do not negate the negative impact we make or have on someone. We will hold ourselves accountable by challenging ourselves to be quick to sincerely apologize and then open to learning when we don't understand. We want to challenge the idea and not the person. If we wish to challenge something that has been said, we will challenge the idea or the practice referred to, not the individual sharing this idea or practice. When we are in this space together, we're going to speak our discomfort. If something is bothering you, please share with the group. Often our emotional reactions within doing this work will offer the most valuable learning opportunities. We want to monitor our airtime. So be mindful of taking up much more space than others. On the same note, empower yourself to speak up when others are dominating the conversation. We want everyone to be fully present. Our time together is precious and limited. Everyone at the table here has significant contributions to make, and we need you to fully participate with both your head and your heart. We're going to redefine the term safe space. Conflict and discomfort are often a part of growth. Make sure to differentiate between feelings of discomfort and the experience with conflict and being actually unsafe. The last is trust the process. This is a journey to a destination of work and offers us a chance to gain insights about ourselves and our community. These insights are gonna help us grow and change and contribute to the cohesion in offering opportunities for gratitude and appreciation on the way towards what we're looking to achieve here in this committee. So those are the guidelines. Are there any questions on any of those? There was a question over here, maybe Robert.
Bob Navarro again. I have a confusion of sorts in terms of the manner in which we communicate to each other and relate to each other is one thing. But in order to arrive at some definite conclusions in our conversation, we need to formulate the final thought, so to speak, that can be gathered from the participation of all those involved. What form is that statement going to take? Is it going to be a motion that is going to be voted on? Are we going to follow Robert's rules of order or another kind of rules of order? How do we know that we have something that is going to be dealt with in a, not only we heard you, but also in a way that shows the respect for the process by all of us, in that it is presented for some degree of action or reaction.
Yeah.
My hope is that whatever we present to whoever we're going to present it to, I suspect that it's not going to be only the village, but I mean government, but that people out there are taking notes on what we're going to be doing and they're going to be reacting to. I, as one who speaks and will be asked questions when we are walking around the community, want to make sure that I'm able to say we have the decision that was made about that subject written down, and let's talk about that. But beyond that, to be able to have the power to dismiss any further development that doesn't pertain to it.
I appreciate the question. That was part of your last question as well, and I didn't get to it, so I apologize. Part of that is going to be determined by the group in general, how we come to conclusions and recommendations. So it might be that there is one set of people working on one project, and they alone are touching that project and working through, and then they bring the information back to the group. There may be things that we are working on as a larger entity, right? And then we will have motions and we will have voting. I do believe that Robert's rules of order are in effect for this equity group. So it may look a little bit different, at least right now, today, or for the next few meetings. Because we're just starting out, we might not have all the answers because we're figuring it out together, how we want to work through this process. Any other questions? If not, we can call for a motion to approve the guidelines for dialogue for this group and then have someone second it.
I make a motion to approve.
I second. It was Holly Economos.
Thank you, Holly. We've got you.
Hi, this is Teresa Peavy. I'm just wondering if we can change that word in number four from workshop to advisory group.
Yes, I think that that's a very good idea. We've got just a couple places where it says workshop, so we can make those edits. And then I think when we, as we vote, we're voting on the presumption that there are going to be just a couple of edits for anywhere where it might say workshop to clean it up for our actual group. Thank you.
And it looks like we just had someone join us on Zoom. Welcome. Just to let you know where we are at on the agenda, we are at item 4, adoption of guidelines for dialogue. We have a motion for approval and a second. And so now we can take a vote unless there are any further questions or comments. Okay, when I call your last name, you can say yes or no. And a vote of yes is to approve the guidelines as amended. Just make a quick note here. Okay. And we will go down alphabetical order. I promise at the next meeting we'll reverse it so that everyone gets a chance. Addie? Did I hear somebody say that? Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I forgot who's on Zoom and who wasn't. Arouse? Austin? Bachner? Baird? Bonner? Brandhorst? Burkett?
Yes.
Thank you. Creedy? DeSorbo Quinn? Duba Clancy? Economos?
Yes.
Foster? Garcia Luce? Graham? She's not here. Grant? Hartshorn? Herman? Iverson? Johnson? Ken? Johnson, other Johnson? Kirk and Ken. Kang? Cascatello? Halayden? Kirk? Reisman?
Yes.
Lucci?
Yes.
Colley? McAdams, Navarro, Nicholas, Norman, Oates, Papernick, Peavy, Ricchetti, Riley, Rogers, Shiner, yes, Schumacher, Shea, Simon, Zerzanovich?
Yes.
Weisenberger? Yoon. And if I have mispronounced your name, I apologize. I will be happy to be corrected. Motion passes. Yay. The next item on the agenda is item 5, introduction of members and small group discussions.
So this is our opportunity to meet one another, get to know each other a little bit. We'll probably be doing some sort of this kind of small discussion group questions for the first few sessions. And so what we want you to do is find a partner at your table, and we're going to give you about 10 minutes to talk through. We've got 3 questions for tonight. Each person will have about 5 minutes or so for each question. And this is really just an exercise, like I said before, to begin to open ourselves to the kinds of ideas that we might be coming across as we continue this work. So, first question. talk about a time when you thought one way, and after doing research or talking to others, you changed your position. And what did that feel like? Does anybody need to hear the question again?
Do we want to just give some direction to the folks who are on Zoom?
Yeah, for you all who are on Zoom, we're going to turn your volume low here so we don't hear the conversations. But if you want to just have one larger group conversation around this, I think that's the easiest way this evening for us to have you participate in this work. Okay. Yeah, if you want to spread out and then come back, perfectly fine. We'll give you 10 minutes.
Hi, can folk on this Zoom hear me?
Yep, yes. We can hear you.
Yep.
Okay, great. So let me just say that I'm barging in, I guess, to answer this question because I worked for a Dominican on a full-time basis for a number of years and led a number of groups and design questions like this. And they're really questions that help us get to know one another's experiences a little bit better. So I'm gonna turn my camera on and then say a little something about changing my position. And hopefully I'm gonna call on someone else, and maybe if you don't wanna pass, you can say what you have to say and then call on someone else. How's that?
Sounds good.
Good.
So let me just, there we go. So I was opposed to the legalization of marijuana for a number of years. I didn't think marijuana led to larger drugs or, more difficult. I didn't think you'd go from marijuana to heroin or anything like that. I was opposed, however, to legalizing marijuana because I went to grad school and there were a lot of potheads when I went to grad school. And I just thought they were not productive. And so I was opposed to it because I was prejudiced in that way. I had an opportunity to talk to some people who actually used marijuana for medical reasons. I sought out the opportunity to talk to people who sold marijuana, and I began to change my mind because I began to learn more about other people's perspectives. And I think I'm gonna call on So right under my screen is the Rotha. Is that how to pronounce your name?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is Dorota. Can you guys repeat the question?
Yes.
Again. Thank you. I apologize.
Talk about a time when you thought one way and during research or talking to others, you changed your position.
Yeah, that's a very loaded question. I would need a little bit more time to think about it. So if I could pass it to someone else, I just need a little bit more time to think about it.
No worries.
It's a very loaded question.
I don't know what you mean by loaded, but you want to just pass it on and then you can explain if you come back. Okay. So can you pass it on?
I cannot see people who are, yeah.
Okay, so Laurel.
I'm here. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So thinking about this question, one thing that comes to mind is that in my current role, I do a lot of hiring. I work for a company, and so I'm a recruiter. And so a lot of times for the positions I'm hiring for, we hire a lot of chemical engineers, mechanical engineers, stuff like that. And so I recently had a position open, and the manager was open to kind of any background. They were kind of like, okay, I'll take a business degree, other experience. And so at first I was kind of like, no, I don't think that's going to work. We haven't done that in the past. Usually they're not a good fit for the role. And so as I kind of like opened up my scope and started talking to more candidates with unique backgrounds, I realized that pretty much anyone can kind of learn a position, and that it's good to be more like open-minded, because that like opens up our options for hiring. And so I was able to kind of like tailor my thoughts behind recruiting and be more like open-minded, because we did hire some people who were, you know, of different backgrounds, and they ended up being, you know, great performers.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will pass it to, let's see. Susan.
All right. Hi, everybody. Hi. You know what comes to mind for me that felt like a big shift was in a local election recently, where I had to decide between so it's more like individuals' philosophies than I think a big policy. But what I did, I was actually approached by someone who said, I think this is the interesting part of it. Like, we both care about this issue. Would you consider this candidate? And I had, you know, no, I hadn't, because of some other reasons. But anyway, as I became in conversation with this person that I didn't know, and then I started researching by talking to some other folks and finding out that we had some more alignment than I thought around the issues that we both cared about. And it was a really interesting process, because there was some relationship healing along the way. And it just felt, I think both of you have used the word open, like just having that personal experience and that opening felt like just a heart opening, like, oh, I can feel differently than my mind had told me by expanding and considering other possibilities and really seeking common ground and values. So that's what comes to mind for me to share. And I'll pass it to, let's see, Lisa's just our thing. Well, we got DU here. So it looks like there's a number that doesn't have a name. 312-999-0226. Are you with us? Above that is, maybe not. Above that is maybe Dimitri, Addy?
Yep, I'm here. I'm going to have to pass. I'm actually on vacation and supervising my kids, so I am multitasking. Okay. But I will pass for now.
All right, so then maybe Holly, are you here?
I am. And it's funny, Susan, that it was when I was listening to you talk about different things that have come up, whether it's, you know, whether it's political or just things that have been talked about either on the news or just in, you know, conversation with people. I feel the same way that I, you know, whether it had, for whatever reason, either preconceived notions or thoughts in my mind of how I thought somebody might answer a question or talk about things. And I was, when topics were came up, and I was very thankful that it seemed like a lot of people now are really willing to have a conversation with people and try really hard not to get upset or to listen to that person's opinion. And I guess I was surprised at the amount of people that were willing to do that. And also where my, including myself, where I think I was much surprised at hearing their thoughts and views on different things. And there was several topics. I agree, it wasn't necessarily one particular thing, but I've kind of seen that, especially in the last year, where people are willing to have conversations and bringing up ideas and thoughts on things that I hadn't considered, or maybe I didn't even think that they would think that. So I had the same similar situation as you did, Susan. Is there anybody else that hasn't in on the Zoom that hasn't spoken? Laurel, I don't know.
I already went, but has Addie gone?
So Addie.
It's Draytree is my first name. Addie's my last name, but I passed.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah. I think that's everybody that I see, isn't it?
I think it is. I just want to find out if now, Dorota, do you want to join the conversation or answer the question?
No, I really would have to think about it because I don't want to just make up things that I, as we go, I really have to think about it. It's a good question, but.
Everyone, we would like to bring the group back together in about a minute.
Okay. Well, just wanted to make sure that everyone had an opportunity. And thank you for allowing me to sort of jump in. We're going to go back to the regular group.
That was great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sheila. No worries. You're always great leading us and facilitating. Thanks for all you do.
No worries. Thank you.
Doesn't work. Hello. Okay, everyone. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. So, first of all, we appreciate all the vigorous discussion. It's very nice to see that we're moving in the right direction. But also, we want to hear from you. So, what we'd like to do, given time, is take one to two people from each table to tell us some general discussions that you've learned from this specific question, and then we'll move on to the next question. So I'm gonna start with this table.
Yeah, if you're comfortable.
So I won't select you, yeah, if you, would anyone like to speak? Oh, the table's now voting, okay. So. This is Mr. Johnson. I know that.
Yes, I'm the other Mr. Johnson. At our table, we, in our small group, we had a discussion regarding defund the police and how that could be such a polarizing topic. But we were kind of breaking it down. It's like, well, what does that really mean? And so we were just touching on some of those things. It's like, well, we still want the police. We need the police. But maybe their job description is a little too broad. Should be maybe focused a little bit more and not be responsible for every little petty or personal grievance, and be more about serve and protect in the community.
Thank you very much. Are we clapping? All right, so I'm gonna move over to this table. All right, I found you.
Hi, my name is Abby Rogers. I think our discussion really had a common theme with our experiences, which was we all realized we were in situations that weren't working and we had to re-examine how we were interacting with that situation in order to have some sort of transformation and breakthrough. And I think we all have had those experiences and they've been very rewarding.
All right, love it. All right.
Hello, my name is Farzad Khaladan. A discussion we had is regarding how our budget, our revenues are spent and what percentage are actually spent on women-owned businesses or businesses of color, LGBTQ, veteran-owned businesses. And that's something that we kind of discussed, how we could make an impact doing that going forward.
I thought you raised your hand. You did not? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Don't make me pick. No one?
Thank you. Yep. Cindy Shea. So we did it where we did just one-on-one discussions, okay? So the question was a time when I thought one way and I changed my position, like that. So I grew up on a farm, and I was very much of the farm, hardworking, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of attitude. And so I've carried that into my adult life for the most part. So my research took 6 years. So I mentored a girl in Austin for 6 years, like fifth grade into high school. Just flipped everything in my head around. And you know, there are no bootstraps for a lot of people. It's just, things are stacked. And I think that completely changed my attitude and my thinking. And how did it make me feel? It made me feel sad. It made me feel angry. It made me feel ashamed that I knew this stuff was going on. I think there's just so many things. But anyway, it's been a personal journey after that, for sure.
Stare down. We're having a stare down right now.
All right. So the thing that came to mind when she, the thing that came to mind when she presented the question for me was, so for me, and I was explaining this, I'm a very like rule-based person. Like, what is the rule? How do you apply it? How do we follow it? Right. And so that applies in all kinds of things, including, you know, for me, mathematics, grammar, et cetera. So I was in a discussion some time ago about the use of the word they as a singular, right? This person was trying to explain to me that you can use the, you know, they to refer to one person in a non-binary way. I'm like, but they is plural. That doesn't work. It's he or she or something else, but not they. They is plural. That's just the way the rule works, right? So, you know, some time passed, you know, I gave it some thought and I realized, like, why is that the rule? That rule came from somewhere. And is that really an objective rule, or is it just a rule that was set a time where whoever came up with it decided it was he, she, singular, they, plural. And I realized, like, we make the rules. So if we want the rule to be they is singular, then they is singular. And so I went back and I was like, I was wrong. Like, there's no reason why they can't be singular. And what do I lose if I refer to they as singular? I lose nothing, like not a single thing. And what does the other person gain? A whole lot. So for me, it made me realize, like, thinking about why things are a way and do they have to be that way and why do I get set in those ways, and maybe thinking about how am I changing something and not forcing my way onto somebody else makes all the difference. So I don't know.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. I do want to say something to our Zoom friends. We did learn a valuable lesson, and one of our members volunteered or told us what we needed to do, but we will try to have breakout committees for the Zoom members as well by the next meeting, so we'll make sure we look out for you. Lisa, you want to do the second?
Sure. I'll take the next question. Even though we haven't talked very much yet, what have you walked through the doors today wanting to accomplish? Meaning, are there specific projects or issues that you think we should tackle and that you want to be a part of helping out with? We'll give everybody 10 minutes.
I think it might be easier to do one-on-one for these discussions, but do what you will.
Okay, I hope you all can hear. I think we should continue to have our conversations regardless of what they're thinking.
We can hear.
So specific projects or issues that you think we should tackle, or what would you like to accomplish? For me, I really want everyone in River Forest to feel welcome. I really want River Forest to feel like a welcoming community for lots of people. And there are people who have said to me, I don't feel welcome in River Forest. There are students who have said, I don't feel welcome. And there are residents of other communities that have said even coming to River Forest seems a little uncomfortable. Now, it might be partly their perceptions, but it's partly other things that happen in the community as well. So for me, I would like to see the community to be a welcoming place for all of its residents. And I'd like to see us find ways to do the kinds of anti-racist work that I think we need to do to make certain that the community is welcome. And I'm gonna call on Holly.
Gosh, there's so many different topics. I'm just trying to think if there's one thing that I like yours. I that's kind of an interesting thing. I never thought about other people's perceptions, not just the residents who live here, you know, their own, you know, ideas and but other people that are coming into River Forest, whether it's passing through or at a class or whatever, what their perception of River Forest is. So that's, I was so interested in hearing your topic. I kind of wasn't thinking about what my answer might be. I think there's a lot, I'm not trying to dodge the question. There's a lot of things that I think all are going to have issues with. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, maybe it's not something very specific, but maybe there's a lot of different issues that we can tweak. You know, I think some things, maybe there are topics that are a big discussion or a big impact or change, where I also believe that there's probably several different things that just by tweaking a few little things will make a big impact. So I guess I don't really have a specific one, because I do think about a lot of different issues altogether. I guess does anybody else want to jump in, or?
Yeah, this is Dorota. I'm very new to the area. We just moved here from the East Coast a few months ago. So I'm brand new. Our family is biracial. We have a little girl who's half black, half white. And quite honest, I feel very welcome. Our family feels very welcome. So I would love to learn a little bit more as a newcomer about this perception that perhaps other people have of River Forest, because like I said, we feel very comfortable here and very safe.
And thank you for sharing that. It's nice to hear that you do feel welcome.
Mm-hmm. No, I honestly, we love it here. So I would really love to learn what other groups may think, or outsiders or insiders, whoever, what's the perception of River Forest and what people think about River Forest and who River Forest, people are, and how they welcome or not welcome other people. And my personal thing, I believe in educating youth, young people, kids. And what I really see is that less and less young people really see the colors, see differences. They really come together, and it's just heartwarming when I see kids of different racial groups, different economic status, social status. They really come together and they focus on what they like, and they just do it together. And really, I've seen this happening before my eyes in my last 20 years, since I moved to the United States from Poland, from Europe. And I really believe in educating kids and really learning from kids and making sure that younger generations are a little bit different than my generations and older generations. So that's what I would really love to see in this group, focusing on young generations.
You want to call on someone else?
Whoever wants to go next, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't see.
No, and now I can see. I started moving my screen and now I can see.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can go. This is Draytree Addy. I think maybe similar to what some others have said, I would love, this is not necessarily an outcome quite yet, but to see or understand a landscape analysis of where we are seeing equity and inequities in River Forest. I would say as a Black family who also moved to the community relatively recently, while I wouldn't say we've necessarily felt unwelcome, we are always very aware of our Blackness, and that is something that just we walk through life every day with, and we are used to. But I'd love to understand, both to Dorota's question, what are the experiences people are having, but also in the systems of how River Forest runs, who are we giving contracts to, why, how are we thinking about equity in that? And really understanding that through every system that River Forest is a part of. So that's something that I would love to dig into.
Awesome, thank you for sharing that.
Yes, I was taking a couple of notes and I forgot to thank you. Do you want to call on someone else?
Oh, sure, let me see if I can, I'm doing this from my phone, so. I don't know who's already talked. Let's see. Susan?
Yeah, I can speak. Thank you.
Sheila kind of took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say almost exactly verbatim what she said. And I, if I have to get really specific, when I thought about the formation of this committee, I thought about the police of River Forest, and I would like to know that we have an anti-racist police force here. And so I'm curious about that. I have been in different conversations. I've lived here 15 years and have seen almost exclusively people of color pulled over on my street. So it's something that I watch, and I would love to know that we were working on that to be as strong as we can be here. I have also talked to quite a few Dominican students that have told me they don't feel welcome here and have told me about incidents that did not make me feel proud to be a River Forester.
So I would- We've got one more minute where before we come back as a group.
So I would love for us to be just to be doing it as much as we can to be a welcoming and inclusive community that people want to be part of and participate in more fully. I think we have that opportunity. So thanks. Let's see. Anybody else?
Anybody else? Just jump in if you want to. We'll be going back soon. Anyway, thank you so much. These are difficult conversations at times, but we can't get to the heart of the matter unless we talk about our experiences and what we perceive to be the experiences of others. So thanks much.
Okay. All right, this is working great. So now we're on to this question. I'm not gonna pressure anyone. If anyone would like to speak from this table, we'd love to hear what you wanted to get out of this group. Okay. Not gonna pressure. All right, fantastic.
Sure. Hi, I'm Christina Papernick. I think some of the ideas that came up in our group were one, sort of pushing comfort levels, making sure that everyone felt welcomed in the Village of River Forest. You know, providing a sense of duty and serving the community. And then also the point that River Forest has the potential to push boundaries and sort of be forward-thinking leader in this space. So that was a positive note for the charge of the group.
Fantastic. Are we clapping? All right, I'm gonna save you last because you guys came, were the volunteers. How about this table?
So this is Teresa Peavy, and we talked about how we want River Forest to be out in front on this issue and not having to play catch up if something happens. And we want to make sure that we are doing the right things all the time and not trying to fix it later on.
Hello. How's it going over here? Yes. Is everybody feeling good? All right, there we go.
Guillermo and I talked a little bit. I'm just going to talk about me, okay? Tim Brandhorst. One of the things that I would really love to see this group do, and this comes from my professional life, is find stories, find a narrative that we can take to our community and bring everyone in the community forward. I think that probably most of us who are interested in being part of this group have either lived experiences or have been doing the work more recently. But many people in our community haven't. And I think that to try to really bring our friends and neighbors forward, story and narrative can be incredibly effective. And so whether that comes from data, or that comes from history, or that comes from personal stories, I think finding those narratives and sharing them can be really useful.
Okay, I'm over here. How's it going, guys? Good? Less good? All right. All right, great.
Abby Rogers, again, I'm not trying to occupy the space, but we had good discussion, not a lot about the topic, but it started with, we were all pretty open to doing anything, including nuts and bolts work, and we are extremely inspired, as most of us at the table, by the young voices and creating a pipeline for, you know, learning from all aspects of our community, I guess.
Hi, I'm Rosie McAdams. And for me, I think something that I think is the most important thing that I personally want to accomplish here, I don't know how we do it, is I don't know if anyone here has young children, but I do. And just making, I don't know, I'm getting emotional. It's so embarrassing. But making sure that he has diversity in the classroom and is taught important things that I, growing up in River Forest, didn't necessarily have. Sorry, I'll stop, but.
Fantastic, appreciate you. Thank you very much for sharing.
Would anyone from our online community, our Zoom participants, like to join in the conversation and share with us what you talked about under the first question? Maybe changing your position, or our second question here. And if you would like to talk, just go ahead and unmute yourself, and we will be able to hear you over the loudspeaker.
This is Sheila Radford Hill, and I've unmuted myself. I'm not speaking for the group, but I'm going to just start us off and hope that anyone else can come in. If you allow us to. So quickly, on the first question, there was a common theme, I think, even though our experiences were very different. And the common theme was we had a perception, we had an assumption, we had an idea, but it really wasn't tested. It really wasn't researched. It really, we don't know exactly perhaps where it came from, or it just came from an incomplete story, an incomplete place. And when we opened ourselves and got a little bit more research and talked to a few more people and thought about it a little bit more, we changed our minds and we opened our space. And I think that that's relevant to what we want for River Forest. For River Forest, we really want this community, which I've worked at Dominican for a while. I'm not working now, but I live in River Forest. And as we all talk about this, we want this community to be welcoming. We want it to be, our group said we want it to be supportive for our young people. Our group also said we wanted everyone to feel welcome. It hurts us when people say they don't feel welcome, or they've had an incident that has made them feel oppressed or discriminated against. So we want this welcoming community. We want an anti-racist community. We want to work together to make certain that that happens.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Is there anyone else who's on Zoom that would like to share any thoughts with the group? If not, we'll move on to our final question for the night.
Okay, so for the final question, What do you think we need to learn to do? I don't have my glasses on. This is a shame. One second. Green glass time this time. What do you think we need to learn to do to work? Wait, sorry. What do you think we need to learn to do the work we are charged to do on this committee? I'll say it again. What do you think we need to learn to do the work that we are charged to do on this committee?
What do you want to know? What do you want to learn about to do the things that we're going to be asking ourselves to do and the community is going to be asking us to do? What would benefit you? What kinds of insight or information or learning would you want to maybe do through this committee? And we'll give you
Oh, I'm back again. Anybody want to start off? What do you think we need to learn?
Sheila, I had an idea. I mean, I know that you specifically also had talked about information or that you had heard or whatever from Dominican, whether it be students, staff, whatever. I guess maybe to hear between our two colleges in town, universities. I don't know if there's a way to get, that kind of information, and whether it's, anonymous, it's just more like, other than businesses in River Forest and the two universities, we were talking about perception of people. I mean, I don't mean somebody driving through River Forest because it doesn't matter, I don't know if that's really a big, what they perceive, whether they're driving through, but people who are actually here more than, an hour or so, which is like the university people, maybe some businesses, maybe it's, maybe relatives of residents. I don't know. I guess maybe figuring out a way where we can gather some kind of way to gather that information, whether it be like perception of River Forest or things they, I guess other people's opinions on what could help us or what they think might help us with this group topic.
Well, I think there's some data that universities have about the climate on campus and also the relationships with the community. There's also surveys that we could do. We could use SurveyMonkey or Google or something to do some surveys of residents if we really wanted to do that. So just to share that we can get data that helps us understand other people's experiences in River Forest. We can also get police stops data, which I've looked at some of that data. It differs by race quite a bit. So I think there's information out there that says everyone's experience of River Forest is not the same. And we can get that and start looking at it.
Great.
Does anybody else have anything that they would like to say we need to learn?
I'm also curious, this is Susan Lucci. I'm also curious what levels of anti-racism training are the people that represent River Forest have had, from our police. I know a little bit more about our about D90, our school system, because I was part of starting the inclusive advisory board years ago. And we did start with a survey. What I really wanted to start with then was like listening circles to gather stories, because I feel like the stories, especially around topics like this, are far more meaningful and informative than data. not discounting what you just said, Sheila, I'd love to see that data too. I think that's in addition to. But I think even by us starting this group, it would be really interesting if we could start some listening circles that we could really start understanding and hearing the depth of the experience and the width of it, you know, of the perspectives. I think we could easily find out too what kind of training, bias training and so forth have our different administrators and service folks had. I'm complete.
I thought I heard someone say we were going back, but I want to know if others, before we go back, have anything that they think we should learn so we can do this work.
I would say again, differences between different generations, the gap between different generations, because if we want to educate this, you know, our neighbors and make this place a better place for all, we have to know how to speak to different generations, because it's completely different perception of someone who's 75 and different perception of somebody who's 10 years old. So I would really want to learn the differences between the gaps between different generations.
That's a very good point. Everyone has talked about some good points, and I do want to share just what Susan said, the idea of using qualitative and quantitative data, the idea of hearing stories and experiences of people 75 years old and people 10 years old. I do think that's a possibility in our community and would yield a wealth of information.
I agree.
Great.
I also think to back up, Sheila, if I could add one thing is I think we probably need among us, we're such a big group and very group ourselves, we probably first need to learn some common language among us so that we, and how we've got our norms, but so we don't create more harm among us in trying to do this work.
Yes, I think that's a good point as well. And it was raised earlier when we talked about we need a common set of definitions for the various terms that we would be using, such as diversity, equity, inclusion, anti-racism, discrimination, bias, et cetera.
I think I would add another thing that really helped us with the IAB is to learn what other communities have done. I don't know. It's fun for us to dream together, and I also wonder what work's been done. I mean, I know I've been part of the amazing work that Dominican has been up to, but are there, who's on the cutting edge of this as communities that are developing groups like this and actually changing the culture with it? So I'm curious. I think that would be really fascinating to learn too around the world. I mean, especially America, probably.
Yes, I think comparables, as they call it, are important. What are other communities doing? Well, I think they're going to call us back at some point. I would also like to know if this particular group had any questions that they thought, or any comments that they thought this larger group needed to hear. I thought it was wonderful getting an opportunity to talk a little bit in our smaller groups, for example.
I'm sorry, Sheila, I'm not sure I'm exactly following you. Is there anything else we want to make sure the large group has heard from us?
Yes, in terms of how this all went for us. You know, we weren't in the room.
Well, for me, it's the only way to participate. Zoom is always less than in person, but I couldn't otherwise physically be there tonight, so I would have missed it. So it's a step better than missing it.
And I guess I feel like you said, I mean, you know, we're kind of in our own group. Like I'm looking at the table of, you know, the people sitting there having the discussion, and I sort of feel like, I mean, our little Zoom group did the same thing. So I feel very much just like, you know, other than the noise level, which is actually kind of nice that we don't have the noise. But I feel it was, we were just as into the, you know, the whole meeting as they were. I don't feel definitely any different being on Zoom versus being in the room.
Okay. Thanks, Holly. Anybody else? Should we say something back to the group? Laurel?
No, not that I can think of. I've just been enjoying listening to everyone. I'm sorry if I haven't spoken up.
That's okay. Well, we'll be back soon. Again, thank you so much for making this group as robust and engaged.
All right, if we could bring the group back together.
Thank you.
Okay. Hopefully. My one wish, let me just share my one wish for tonight, is that you guys have selected somebody already, so I don't have to pressure you. But let's see what happens. So I started here. I'm gonna start over here. All right.
I am Glenn Weissenberger, and we talked about many things, but I think what stands out most is that we believe that we have to come to agreement about certain terminology. There are a number of terms that are used in current society that have common meanings, and then if you dig below the surface, they have more complex meanings. Anti-racism, defund the police, things of that nature. And I think we have to understand what these terms mean before we start using them. And I think we have to have a common understanding, at least our group thinks so. We also feel that there should be some criteria for determining what decision is made. Is it going to be a consensus? Is it going to be a vote? In other words, we have to decide upon a process that enables us to collectively make decisions. And we haven't really agreed upon that, and we don't know what that is. Obviously, we're just going through exercises tonight, which I think are very important. But when we get down to the nitty-gritty and we have to come up with conclusions and we have to say, this is what we recommend, we have to devise a process for reaching that common goal. So I think that reflects what we said.
The one other thing was the community, like
out. Oh yes, this is another factor. I'm sorry, I overlooked that. We agreed that this group was, of course, self-selected. We all volunteered to be here, which probably means we have an interest in these issues, and we have certain values that we want to seek to advance. However, it's not clear that we're entirely representative of all of River Forest as a group, And we want to be certain that whatever we decide reflects the entire community. Now, that's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible. But it's something we have to be mindful about, that this is a group that selected itself, and there are other people in the community who might feel differently than what this group collectively feels. Okay?
Great, great discussion.
Okay, I'm going to come over here. Stay on this side of that. Oh, all right.
Okay. So our table. Thank you, Stacey Austin. So some of the things we thought would be useful to know or to learn, or that would be beneficial in serving in this role. First is to understand what the demographics are of the community and the data behind, you know, people, backgrounds, experience, et cetera, because, you know, we don't know. The second is a better understanding of what it is we collectively want as a community. The third would be, we had the same conversation around understanding what terms mean, things like that. And then I'm going to add a couple more that, you know, for me personally. First is understanding just how the village works, having a more detailed and nuanced understanding of those processes. I think that would be very helpful. And then also, you know, having another better understanding of what are various residents' experiences in the village. I think that goes to what you were saying. I think understanding that would be helpful as well.
I'm gonna go over here. John, where are we pointing? Oh, okay.
Jim Norman, it was very similar to the other table, kind of a deep grounding in where are we right now? You know, what is best in class? Where are we? What are the barriers? Why? Why? I'd love to hear a deep why from the trustees. Why? Why this effort, this initiative at this time? What are the barriers? What are the commitments of time and resources that the leadership is willing to commit to this effort? The notion being that if we're starting a journey, we need to know where we are to make incremental movements forward. Right. Are we looking over here?
Some overlap with some of the other groups, but a couple of additional points. One thing that a couple of people talked about was, how do we share as a group additional outside reading? Where do we begin? Is there a process that we can go through? Can we begin sharing things now? Should we have, should we make that part of our meetings? Should we have a book group? Should we, how do we get after that? Introducing outside reading into our process. Metrics and data, understanding how the village works, but doing that through numbers and data, hiring information, spending information, policies on purchasing and vendors and applicants, how is the money allocated, those kinds of things. More clarity on what is wanted from us, specifically at what point, hopefully soon, at what point and how do we break out into smaller groups where we can actually start doing things? And, just the consensus seems to be that a large group is going to be pretty unwieldy in actually accomplishing very much. And then more qualitative data, opinions, gathering opinions from residents across River Forest. Who are we? Where are we as a community? What do we believe as residents?
Great job.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Sharon Oates. I just wanted to add one thing, which is what you had, I think, had brought up. What's the history of River Forest? How did we get to be where we are right now? And I thought that was a very important thing to look at.
Okay. How are we feeling?
Yes, no, maybe so.
My name is Tina Baird, and we pretty much touched on what everyone else was speaking of too. We talked about demographics. We want to know who lives in this community. I feel that sometimes there's some assumptions about who lives here, and we really don't know. And is that a historical reason? and how transient is this community? We also talked about what is it exactly that we can do? What is the power that this group has?
Okay, also, I want to actually put you two on the spot if I can, because you guys had great answers too, because we also had a group discussion. And given this question, if that's okay, Eric, are you?
I think how I answered this question, and it was sort of an aha moment for me, I think it was similar to maybe what this table was discussing too, was that we are looking to make change in our community. We're looking to make recommendations about how we can be better, how the village could be better. We need to know how the village works. We need to understand the different departments and potentially hear from them around what they're doing today, have opportunities to ask them questions about it, begin to potentially change their mindsets even before we begin to make any recommendations. So that's me.
So the online community entered a comment. We do see that our time is running a little bit short here, but they, Sheila, if you don't mind, I'll kind of paraphrase what you said. Learn what various experiences of living, working, doing business, attending school, et cetera, in River Forest. Actually, I'm not gonna paraphrase it because you said it far better than I will. If we want a welcoming community for everyone, we need to hear as many voices as we can. We want to understand what anti-bias training the village has participated in. We need a common language to talk about these issues, and we want to know that other communities have done to address inequality. We thought listening circles to understand experience, and we need to provide voice and visibility for various generations so that we have a nuanced view of how people live and work here. Thank you, Sheila. All right. Do we have anything else to share on that item? Okay, so in order to be respectful of everyone's time, in terms of a meeting date and confirmation of a meeting date, we were targeting the week of June 21st. We'd like to try to have as much momentum as we can. For those of you who are here tonight, some of you may have had to rearrange a few things. I have gotten a few comments from individuals who were unable to join us tonight that some of them have long-standing conflicts on Mondays. So we certainly don't want to start by just automatically excluding members of the group. So we were hoping to alternate meeting dates on occasion. We want some consistency so that it's not bonkers trying to remember, am I Monday or am I Tuesday? So if you don't mind, what we'll do is potentially target Tuesday, June 22nd. I will send out a doodle poll, unless someone has a suggestion for a better tool. But I will send that out to check your availability, and I will send that out by the end of business tomorrow, and we'll ensure that we have a quorum. But that is what we're targeting for the next meeting date. Similar to what you had for this meeting, you'll experience that going forward. The Open Meetings Act requires that I send out agendas, or that the village, not always going to be me, but that the village sends out meeting agendas and posts them at least 48 hours before the meeting. We want to try and give you as much time as we feasibly can. So our goal is always to try to get it to you no later than the end of the business week prior to your meeting. But certainly it will never come less than 48 hours prior to the meeting. So we will get you as much of a head start as we can, particularly if there are longer agenda items or things that may require a little bit more reading. We want to try to be fair to everybody and give you some time. So if that's okay with everybody, that's, I think, how we'll conduct the next meeting scheduling. And then I think eventually we'll kind of find our rhythm of of how it goes and where we're meeting to try to keep some consistency for everybody. The last item before we adjourn is any public comment. So when you're a public body, you have to allow public comment. Is there anyone either in the audience or anyone on the Zoom call that wishes to share any public comments? Preferably related to items on the agenda, but not completely limited. No? Okay. With that, I will take, if that's okay, anything else? And thank you very much to our hosts tonight, Dave, Sam, and oh my gosh, I had your name in my head. Omar, thank you. I practiced it all night and in the last minute blanked completely. So apologize for that. Anyway, thank you very much to our hosts. They've been amazing setting up all the technology and helping me get this meeting off the ground. So thank you so much for your hospitality. Much appreciated tonight. With that, I need a motion and a second to adjourn. PV, I got Creedy on motion, PV on second. All of those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Very good. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.